So the title of the message this morning is Hard Places, At Peace When I'm Stressed Out. Welcome to my life. But here's the thing, I can be stressed out and I can be at peace. Something I've been finding out about myself that I do a lot is I guess I go, so much that I now have a nickname, I guess called Cyan. I'm Cyan Brian. Yeah. My basketball nickname was Flying Brian. Yeah. But now I'm Cyan Brian. I guess that's what 20 years will do to you. You don't jump high anymore. You just... And if I do that when I preach, I'm sorry. But they say that an hour of preaching is like working an eight-hour day. So they say. I don't know. But I do feel it once I hit youth service. Like, man, I feel like I'm pulling a double shift. So thank you for my hazelnut Ferrero Rochelles. I'll get halfway through them today, and I might take a break, and I'll save the rest for tomorrow for a pick-me-up. I'm not going to share them. No. When I buy those, I buy them at Costco. From Tumwater to Rochester, I'm almost done. So, knees on the wheel, both hands going. So, barreling down the freeway. No, here's the reality is a lot of us, we don't find peace in hard places or hard situations. We get worried. We get anxious. We start to fret. We may get angry. We do everything but be in this place of peace. And the reality is God wants us to be at peace, even in stressful places. You know, you may be stressed out by your work environment. You may be stressed out by your finances. You could be stressed out just by family. You know, one that stresses me out a lot is culture. I'll just be honest. As a pastor, I feel like there's this constant grinding between our faith and our culture. And I feel like there's these attacks, and you know, I'll just leave it there for now. But it stresses me out sometimes. Relationships, schoolwork, all these things can cause stress in our lives. But what does stress do? You know, it literally impacts every part of our lives. But here's the thing too. Stress is actually good for us. This isn't the focus of my sermon. This is all extra right here. But stress is actually that which stretches us and it helps us grow. You see, God nowhere in his word says that he will take your stress away from you. He says he'll take your burdens. He'll take your worries. But he doesn't get rid of your stress. Stress is good. Proverbs says, now this isn't, well, it could be stressful. It says, it is good for workers to have an appetite. An empty stomach drives them on. You know, sometimes if you're like, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal. I better work. That's a stressful thought to not think you have food. So in turn, you work for it. So stress can be good. You know, again, this I'm still extra. I'm on my bunny trail, and I'll get back in a moment. Comfort leads to complacency. I think in so many things, as a church, I mean, I'm not saying the church as in general, we can be very comfortable in our faith. We get stuck in routines and rituals and all this stuff. You know, faith is anything but comfortable. If you are comfortable in your relationship with God, something is not right. I am constantly being stretched and convicted and challenged to grow in my faith. And it stresses me out. There's something right now, I can't even talk about it yet, that has come up in our area in East Lewis County that I feel is right in line with what we are as a church. And the idea of taking it on stresses me out, but I'm excited about it. And I'll share more maybe at the first year if this all happens the way, because I didn't talk to the board about it yet. So we'll talk about that in our meeting. But you know, stress isn't a bad thing. Now, what we do with our stress can be a bad thing. Do we get worrisome, anxious, or do we abide in peace? Here's what can happen from bad stress. I'm not sure if it's a clinical term or not, but chronic stress. Our bodies, we can have headaches, muscle aches, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, stomach ulcers. So we had a kid in Lewiston, his name was Matt Storrs. He was a high school student, probably 15 years old, and he was crossing the street in Clarkston, Washington, going home to his house after school, and he got hit by a car. It just grazed him. I mean, he rolled a little bit. I mean, like, caught the side, and You know, and but anyways, Matt, he was actually coming home from the library to his house. It stressed him out so bad that he was actually anxious and scared of every time he'd hear a car, he'd be walking down on the sidewalk, and he just freaked him out, and it really just messed him up. About 6 months later, Matt is rushed to the hospital, puking blood up, and he actually developed an ulcer because he was so anxious and worried about getting hit by a car. So, I mean, that's what stress did to him in a negative way. He had chronic stress. Chronic stress that can affect our behaviors. Some people overeat. Some people undereat. Some people sleep too much. Some people don't sleep enough. So many things can happen with our behavior as a result of bad stress. Our thoughts. You can become angry. I'll be honest. I mean, I don't consider myself an angry person, but short-tempered. Not like I'm going to blow up, but ask my wife. If I am like stressed out and I'm not handling things properly, then it can be quick to snap. You know, little snap comments. Well, why haven't you done this yet? You know, it's not the right way. So my thoughts can end up result in anger, which can result in being short-tempered, which then affects the people around me. Some people get depressed because it's so stressful. Like, oh, what can I do with this? Others can feel like they're defeated. So what do we do about our stress? I have like the magic elixir that will solve all your stressful situations. It's called essential oils. You take this stuff and you like rub it right behind your ear and you just sigh. They have this stuff. I don't have any, although I do have some essential oil stuff. It has like the shampoo, it's herbal essence, but it has like tea tree in it. It's supposed to help my thinning hair. And I sit there in my shower and I can just feel it's like a massaging thing, and I can smell and breathe in my nose and like, But what do you do after the shower? The stress comes back. What do you do when the oil rubs off? You know, some people like to go golfing. Honestly, that's more stressful. Stinking ball will never go straight. Some people like it. The problem with things you can buy or things that you use when you're stressed out is, what do you do when it runs out? When it wears out? When you don't have it anymore? Really, we should turn to the Bible. I mean, what does God say about stress? John chapter 14, verse 27 is the key verse this morning. Jesus says this. He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Essential oils does not offer you this peace. Or what's the other one? Doterra, yeah. And what's the other one? Young Living or something? Yeah. So, don't be troubled or afraid. Another word for that? Worried, anxious. God has peace for us to deal with the stress of our lives. The world tries to offer solutions, but oftentimes they result in worry and fear and more weightiness on us. So here's three simple ways to deal with our stress biblically. And I want to go from least important to most important, because you know it goes right back to what our little altar time just was about, you know, having faith in God. But number one is this. We need to laugh more. Laughing is good for you. The Bible says in Proverbs verse 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. That's right. Have you ever felt like you had a broken spirit? I mean, literally, where you felt like you had nothing left in you. It's a hard place to be in. The Bible says that the cure for that is a cheerful heart. But here's, it's like a catch-22, because when you feel broken in spirit, the last thing you want to do is laugh. You know, Brian and Jamie, they moved to Redmond yesterday, and Jamie, I've known her my whole life. She's my cousin. I remember she's about 8 years old, and my grandma Josie and Jamie thought that they'd laugh. Grandma goes, Jamie, let's see how long we can laugh. And I remember sitting there, and my grandma starts laughing. And it's just this ridiculous laugh. And then Jamie's laughing. So it's like a forced laugh. And as they get going, it gets to where they cannot stop laughing. And then my brother and my cousin and I, we walk in and we're like, what in the heck is going on? And then we start laughing. And I mean, so bad that my side hurt. And, you know, laughing is contagious. And it's good for you. So You know, sometimes we need to laugh more. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Turn that frown upside down. We tell Claire that. Claire, she's the master scowler. Man, she's got a scowl. I'm like, turn it over, Claire. But she's also a really fun girl, so I'll leave it there. Simple things in life that bring joy to your heart. You know, think about those. What are the simple things in life that just make you happy? Focus on those. I was trying to think of just growing up a couple things that I just, and I, things that when I was young that I remember that I still love. And there's one that stands out more than any other. And I don't get it that much anymore because now my girls get it. The beaters. When the whipped cream's being made. Or like the pudding. And you know, there's something about, I mean, it'd be so much more satisfying just to have a spoonful of it. Because I mean, there's like barely anything on a beater after, you know, to lick the beaters. But there's something about just licking that beater that just, oh, it's so good.
Amen.
And as I was thinking about that, this isn't mine, but it says, a good mother will let you lick the beaters. A kind mother will turn the mixer off first. On that, here's a couple church jokes for you. A Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go to church, why is it necessary to be quiet in church? Annie replied, because people are sleeping. Yeah, that makes the pastor feel really good. Here's my favorite one. At Sunday school, they were learning how God created everything, including human beings. Johnny was especially intent when the teacher told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he was ill and said, Johnny, what's the matter? Johnny responded, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. Oh, that one got me good. One more. Going over the church finances, I found a receipt from a local paint store signed by someone named Christian. I wasn't aware of anyone buying paint, so I called the store to point out this mistake. I'm sorry, I told the manager, but there are no Christians here at the First Baptist Church. Nothing on the Baptists. I thought that was funny too. Laughter decreases stress hormones. It increases immune cells and infection fighting antibodies in our body. It improves resistance to disease. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins. The body's natural feel-good chemicals, endorphins promote the overall sense of well-being and can be a temporary pain reliever in our lives. Laughter, it stretches our muscles, it burns calories, it's a natural energy booster. Amen. We need to laugh more. We need to literally watch less news and watch more Seinfeld. There you go. Best comedy on TV. Actually, I really like, what's the Home Improvement guy's new show?
Tim Allen.
Yeah. Last Man Standing. That one cracks me up too. But you know, watch less news.
Amen.
We know how the story ends, so just laugh more. Do something fun. Laugh at yourself.
Come on.
You know, I have a picture of myself that you're not going to see.
I was going to put it off there.
I was.
You were going to.
I have this thing with skinny jeans. Just being honest. And I'm working through this thing of mine, and our illustrious former youth pastor gave me about 3 pictures of myself in some skinny jeans. And wow, it made me laugh. It was good. It left me with something well. You know, I was wondering about that. Here's a good statement for you. You can act all grown up and let disappointments of life get you down, or you can turn your frown upside down.
Yeah.
You know, too many of us, we act like we're grown-ups. Oh, I gotta just handle it. And, you know, we're stiff and we're stern, and we have a scowl on our face. Just smile. Life goes on. We take ourselves too seriously sometimes. You know, we can literally release worry. We don't have to carry it. We're not supposed to carry worry. We may carry stress, but we're not supposed to carry worry in our lives. Corrie Ten Boom, you know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Hannah did a sermon that had her in it for fine arts. You know, she was a young girl that went through World War II and Nazi Germany or Poland, and she was in a concentration camp, actually. There's books about her life, things that she wrote. She said this: worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. That's really good. Here's two more quotes about worry. A day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work.
Amen.
Worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. Something to do, but going nowhere. Think about that. We are not made to be worriers. We carry our stress, but we lay our worries down before Jesus.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. There's a song, you know, cast your burdens on Jesus, for he cares for you. Okay. You're not going to hear the monotone preacher this morning. Singing, that is. God wants us to live a worry-free life. In hard places, you'll have stress. You'll carry your stress. It'll help you grow. But we're not supposed to carry our worries. We're supposed to give them to God. Do you ever have things that, you know, you worry about, you give them to God, and they come back? Do you ever have things that, like, perpetually, you know you shouldn't be holding on to it, but it's like it just keeps on coming back into your mind? How do you deal with that? How do you stop those things which keep on coming back time and time again? Well, really, we have to just tell ourselves the truth. And that's this, that 99%, well, maybe somewhere in the high 90% of time, the things that we worry about never happen. But it's also true that the things that we are worrying about are actual things. You know, we worry about our health. We worry about our finances. We worry about our kids and our finances. We worry about our jobs. They do stress us out. They're real things. But so often, the real things that we stress about do not happen. So we need to tell ourselves the truth. It's not going to happen most of the time. So, laugh more. Point number one. Point number two is this. Give your stress to God. This is going to be a short point, and that's okay. Let go and let God. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
It's been one of the most frustrating statements I've ever heard, because sometimes it seems like when people say it, there's like a smugness to them. Well, let go and let God. I'm like, well, you're not in my shoes. You don't know what I'm dealing with. But the reality is, that is one of the best statements out there, to let go and let God. Let God have your stress. And I was thinking, what's the best illustration I can think of to relate this to our lives? And I thought cars or trucks. Have you ever had car trouble? Truck trouble. Now, so Tara and I, we had a 2002 Honda Accord. We had it when we came here. Now she has her CRV. But we got that car in 2005 because my brother, which is an amazing story, and I know I've shared this, where he gave us that car. And so we put about, 130,000 miles in that car in 10 years. And so we had it for 10 years' time. But it came right at that point to where when the brakes went out, the brakes just didn't go out. It was everything, right, Steve? I mean, mostly Steve, did the brakes for me and did the brakes and the rotors and the calipers and the master cylinder and all this stuff. And I thought, oh, great, our car is working out well now. And then we're at the Southwest County Fair, and again, they're like, and I was like, what now? Had to replace this little chip. I don't know what it did, but this little chip was like $300 chip. And then it made the car work again. And so our car was in great working order, but the thought in the back of our mind was, what's going to happen next? It's just right at that place where something else will happen soon. And so we're stressed out about it. Tara would go to work, and I'm thinking, I wonder if it's going to even start when she gets back in the car. And you don't like to have that on you. I mean, you could put anything in life, but, you know, the fear of the unknown, it's a stress that can lead to worry, because we don't know what could happen. And so what did we do? We put it up for sale. It's not that the car was a bad car. It was working fine. And so we sold it appropriately and put the price on it for what it was worth, and we sold the car. But here's the thing. This car, which is an issue of stress and worry in our lives, as soon as we signed over the title to somebody else, it was no longer a concern, right?
That's right.
It was no longer mine. It wasn't my property. I didn't have to think about, somebody has that car and it could break down. They knew what they were getting into. And it says that we did this. It's a good running car. It's a Honda, all this stuff. But, you know, it has this many miles on it. But as far as for me, we signed the deed. They signed the deed, gave it to them, and they had it. Sometimes, I mean, I don't do this physically, but I do this mentally. where I will take my stress, my worry, my problems, and I sign them over to God. You may literally say, God, I am stressed out about this, 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 this. Write them down, sign it, date it, and then give it to God.
That's good.
And when it comes back, you say, you know what? This is not mine anymore. Amen. It's His. And the verse that I always hold on to is Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I am no longer my own. I am His. I mean, this idea that... You know, it says we're slaves of Christ, that He is our master, our Lord. What's so cool about that, it doesn't make me feel like I'm underneath His thumb. It means this, that He has everything that's mine.
Amen.
So if I have an issue at my house, it's His house. It's His car. My problems are His problems. When people upset me or hurt my feelings, He'll take care of it for me because He's my judge. And it relieves all this worry off of my life because I know that I know that I know that God is for me. He's not against me. And I've signed my life, my deed, over to Him. And it's now His concern and not mine. And I sleep better at night because of that. NyQuil helps too sometimes. Something about that NyQuil. Next time something comes up in your life, write it down, sign it, date it, give it to God, move on. Let go, let God. Third point is this. We need to find faith. This is the most important thing that we can do in our lives in dealing with our stress. You'll have stress, but you deal with it with your faith in God. If you're going to lower your stress levels, you have to look at your life through the eyes of faith. You know, I find a lot of this in verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a faith verse. That's a verse when I'm facing adversity, I can say, God, your word says this. You're not a liar, so I'm going to start walking this out.
Amen. Come on.
You know, literally where I put my faith in God, and then He shows Himself faithful to me in what He has said.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. Now understand, this is where Paul is talking about Gentiles and Jews. And what was happening is the Jews were saying, you know, if you're not circumcised, then you're not really a Christian. You're not of the faith. And so they're talking about works. And we understand that, right? And Paul's saying, no, it's not about the works you do. It's about who you have. It's Jesus. So he says here, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. The most important thing we have is faith expressing itself in love. You know, there's a lot of people out there who think that they're mature believers because of the stuff that they know. But the reality is maturity comes by how well you love other people. That really shows who we are. You know, we're told as the greatest commandment was to love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. You know, your neighbors that you like, the neighbors that you don't like, the neighbors that don't like you. We're supposed to love people. This is what God has called us to. And this love is expressed through our faith. People will see how much faith we have in God by how much we love other people. So we need to find faith, and in finding faith, we find love. I mean, and when we find love, it's hard to be worried when you have God's love in your life. What kinds of faith do we have? We have saving faith. It's the most important and basic faith that every single person needs in this world is saving faith. How many people are out there that are desperate for a Savior, looking everywhere else to find fulfillment and purpose in life, and there's a saving faith that they need and they need to find in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Some 80 or 90 more people in our area that need to find saving faith.
That's right.
And we have that. It says in Romans chapter 5, I want to read the 6 verses because they're all really good. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So think of that. Because He saved us, made us right, we have peace. It doesn't say we don't have stress, but we have peace. We don't have to worry. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, hard places. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not leave us disappointed, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and with his love. Amen. When we were utterly, utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners.
Right.
He saved us. We placed our faith in him. We didn't do anything but believe and have faith. And he saved us. And that peace is the best peace out there.
Amen.
And nothing else can compare to that. We're not made right with God by what we do. It's the faith that we put in him that makes us right. He died for us so that we could be forgiven. How do you know that God loves you? Because he gave us his son. It's that simple. It doesn't matter how bad your day is. Knowing that God loves you and gave you his son will bring peace. I was thinking about that. What would a bad day look like in my life? So many things that could be bad in my life. Just in general, I've thought, you know, probably the thing that bothers me the most in a day is when my schedule doesn't go as I have it planned. I like schedules. I like to know this. I like to be prepared. And when things don't go according to plans, that's a bad day for me. It's a bad day when the power goes out and you don't have a generator. You know, I've thought, what is the worst phone call I could receive? It'd probably be from the school. And this hasn't happened yet, and I pray that never will. But I'm not looking forward to if there's ever a day where they go, "Hi, Mr. Tinhara, your daughter has lice." That, it makes me just itch right now. That would be a bad day. And now they have the super lice.
Let's not talk about that.
Okay, yeah. Makes me itch. That's a bad day. You know, things can happen in our lives that are bad days that can make us think, if all this is happening to me and I'm God's, does he really love me? Does he even know that I'm here? Where is God when all of this stuff happens to me? Just understand, that voice that you're hearing in your head, if you hear that, that's not God.
Amen.
That's the enemy. His name is Satan. He's the one that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the one that wants to put a wedge between you and God and get you worried and anxious and get your focus off of him and your faith and more on your problems and let your stress become worries. That's him. That's his voice. Bad things happen. God still loves you. How much does God love you? God loves you that much. As wide as Jesus' hands were on the cross is how much God loves you. He gave us his son. That is saving faith that'll keep us through hard times. You can literally lower your stress level by receiving saving faith through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, this is the first faith that we need. And I promise you, you'll leave this place feeling better.
Amen.
You'll get an opportunity for that in a moment. Second thing is this, strengthening faith. Do you ever feel like you're just weak? You're worn out? You're tired? God has a faith for you that strengthens you physically, mentally, and emotionally. I believe that. Have you ever said this? I don't know if I have what it takes to get through the day. I have. I don't know if I can do this. You know, somebody else could do such a better job than I can do. I think I should just quit. I just can't seem to get it right. Again, these voices. These are not the voices of God. This is the voice of the enemy. God never says that. That is not a voice coming from the Father. But we all have days like this. And the verse that I go to that holds me is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
That doesn't mean I always get what I want, but I can get through things.
Amen.
This is the truth. There is nothing that we will face that we cannot do through the strength of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It doesn't mean we're going to get everything that we want, but we can get through anything through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is truth. The third thing is this, sustaining faith. This is for those days where the surprise that comes to you is so intense that it like takes the breath out of your lungs. And you feel like you're weak at the knees, like you just fall, you can sit down. These are those times where what they should tell you is, sit down, I've got something I have to tell you. Those are hard days to handle. But we all face them. You know, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, you know, harsh words from a spouse or from a son or a daughter. You know, we've all had literally the wind knocked out of us. Extreme loss. How do you deal with extreme loss? So Tara and I were watching a movie last night. Actually, we watched it yesterday. And we were expecting this great storm to come, and so thought the generator would be on, watch a movie, all this kind of stuff. So I go down to the Mini. The Mini has actually gotten some better movies in the last couple months. I had like a bad streak of like 7 or 8 movies that are just horrible. But anyways, when I go to the Mini, I get movies for Tara, not for me. So it's a chick flick. And there's this guy, something Sparks. Nicholas Sparks has a new movie out called The Choice. And so anyways, I saw the thing on it. I was like, okay, let's watch this. And so all of his movies are the same. It's just some guy and some girl, and they row in a boat, and they either look at ducks or the sun or something like that, and they fall in love, and then it ends. Well, this movie, it did all those different parts, but then it actually goes past that. I'm like, oh, this is actually kind of cool, because like when you watch The Notebook, you know, actually that one went through the whole life too, didn't it? But anyways, this movie, the boy gets the girl, you know, and like, choose me, want me, all that kind of stuff, and then they start showing their lives. And they're married, and they're living their lives, and life is good, and then they're going to go on a date, and his wife gets in a car wreck. And then she's in a coma, and it gets to the place to where she's actually going to die. And if you go all the way back in the movie before this, this man, he actually had lost his mom as well to cancer at age 57. And so this guy was already really hard against the world, and what's cool is the lady that he was about before he married her, they had a God conversation too. He's like, oh, we're going to have this conversation now? She goes, yeah, we are. As they talked about God, he basically said, you know what? All I know is all I can trust in this life is myself and my friends. Nothing else matters. And she's talking about the moon and the sky and all this stuff. And she says, you know, until you can answer all this for me, I'm going to keep have my prayers at night. And so they're on this motorcycle ride. I'm like all over the place in this movie, but this will work. They're on this motorcycle ride, and it starts raining, so they get under a tree, just like what was that other movie that he did with it had a canoe and it started raining. But anyways, a whole other movie, canoes, rowboats, all this stuff. But anyways, they're in this motorcycle ride. It starts raining and they get underneath this tree and they start hearing all this music playing. And so the girl goes, oh, let's go over there. And she goes over there and it's a church. And they walk in the church and she says, I am not going to that church. She goes, no, let's go in here. Let's go in here. And they're worshiping and stuff, and it's just really cool worship. And she's enjoying it. And all of a sudden, this guy's dad stands up. And he's been in the movie the whole time, but like, what is he doing here? And it was the anniversary of his wife's death, or her birthday, one of the two. And so she's talking to him afterwards, and he said, you know what? He's like, when my wife died, I turned to the Bible, and my son didn't. And he said, this has gotten me through. And I just thought that was a cool line. He goes, you know, when tragedy struck my life, when life got so bad that it knocked the wind out of me, I turned to God. Amen. And you could see just the blessing in this man's life. And you could see the travailing and the searching that this other guy had, his son. But I just thought that was kind of cool. You know, when you have extreme loss, what do? You turn to God for comfort. You can ask him why. You can say, I don't understand. But you don't push him away. That's when a verse like this, Romans 8:28, becomes very real. We know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. Bad happens, God can make good come from this. God can take our lives and our choices and turn things around for the good. Even the things that knock us out. Look at Moses. I mean, Moses was 40 years old at the prime of his life, killed an Egyptian, put himself in a strange place with Pharaoh, the Israelites, ended up going out in the wilderness, stuck at a well, meets his wife there, that was good. But think about it, the best things that he's known for happened after that. His greatest mistakes resulted in what he was known for. Leading the people out of Egypt. Writing the Ten Commandments, the first 5 books of the Bible, an amazing life with God. His greatest mistake did not define his life. His greatest moments happened after that. And how many times do we think, I have messed up too much for God to use me? Too many bad things happened. There's no way God can use me now. Look at Moses. His best days were ahead of him. You could be 85 years old and your best days could be tomorrow. It is never too late. James chapter 5, verse 15, it says, this is talking about, again, if any of you are sick, if you're beaten down, if you have problems in your life, it says, call on the elders of the church. It says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. You see, this strengthening faith and sustaining faith, what I have found in my life, it is something I get from other people. It's the people that I asked to pray with me. I was coming down Highway 12 about 5-6 months ago, and I was talking to a buddy of mine on the phone. I said, you know what? I said, I'm at a place right now to where if something came up in my life that I want to do ministry-wise, I couldn't even do it. It's like, I am so worn out, so tired. I said, I can't even see what tomorrow has for me. I said, I'm beat. And I said, I need you to pray for me. I said, I need you to pray strength into my life. I need help being sustained. And he's just the type of buddy that will do that for me. And I have my wife, and we pray every night together as a family. Pray for what we're thankful for and how God can help us in our next days. And you know what? It's crazy. I should be tireder now than I was 6 months ago, and I feel good. Stressed all the time. But God can give us strength and sustenance and faith through those around us. That's what this verse means. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you're sick, get the faith from somebody else. Amen. We need that. There are people in our church and in your family that need your faith. Amen. Sometimes you need to say, you know what? I need you to pray with me. Help me. I need your faith right now. I feel like the wind is knocked out of me. And that's when we allow something awesome to happen. As we see the body of Christ lift up the body of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. You may be overwhelmed today by the hard place that you're in. You may be stressed out. You may be worried. You may be anxious. So maybe you need to take life a little lighter. Maybe you need to laugh more. Maybe there's those things that you just can't seem to ever let go. Maybe you need to literally just like let go and let God. If that means you write it down and sign it and date it and put it somewhere, that's fine. I used to actually just write out. I'm like eight, 9 years ago, probably the worst time of my life, where even the people that I should be able to go to and pray for were the very people knocking me down the hardest. Where I should be able to say, you know what, I need a prayer for strength. They were speaking death into my life. Literally saying, you are nothing, you will never be nothing, you have a dark heart, God will never use you. These are the people that are supposed to be lifting me up. I mean, the lowest point of my life. And all I had to turn to is my wife and my God. And I remember writing down pages and pages and pages of stuff on our computer. And then I'd delete it all and say, okay, God, you have it all. Stuff that I would not want to be read by anybody else. It was dark. But I had to get it out of me and give it to God. And what was great about that hard time in my life is I learned how to let go and let God. Amen. It made me stronger. It stretched me. And then some of you need faith. If you're here this morning and you need saving faith, today is the day of salvation. Amen. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess to your mouth that Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That's right. And you will experience a faith that will revolutionize your life. Amen. It will renew you, make you a new creation. Takes away your shame, your shame and your guilt, your sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired. But God has that for us. Maybe you need strength. Maybe you need to be sustained. Today is the day for all those things. So let's just do this first and we'll wrap up. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, and what that means is this. I'm not saying if you've done it before, that's fine. But if you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, recognize Him as God, recognize Him as Savior, ask him to take away your sins and make him master.
Yes.
And I think I know almost everybody here. But if you haven't done that ever, but you want to, I want you just to raise your hand right now. And I think I was talking mostly to Christians here, so we'll take it as that. Jared, you're good. But you're going to have that. You know, you'll have saving faith. And what I want to do now, because since Jared is recommitting his life to Christ, I want to pray this prayer, and I want to pray it with you, Jared, and I want us to pray with him in this. And my hope is, my belief is, Jared, you're going to experience the power of saving faith. And you're going to experience it in the body of Christ. And you're going to experience it for what the church is supposed to be, like we've talked about before. This is why we come and be a part of church. And so let's just do this right now, church. And just, I'm going to pray this prayer, and Jared, you repeat it. And church, I want you to repeat it as well, lifting Jared up in this moment. And God is going to do an awesome work in your life right now. I believe that. And Ron, would you lay a hand on Jared since you're right there? Let's pray. And just repeat after me, church, and Jared, repeat too. Heavenly Father, today I ask your son Jesus into my life to be my Lord. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, that he overcame death and the grave, and that he is alive now. I ask you to be Lord of my life. Take away my sin, my shame, my guilt, and fill me with your peace. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Amen. Nobody can take that from you. You have saving faith. That's awesome. That's worth a celebration. If you're here this morning and you need strength or you just need to be sustained, I want to pray one more time. I know we had an altar time already. But just with where you're at, if you say, you know what, Pastor, I just need you to pray for me. Would you just lift your hand into where I can see you right now? Thank you. A bunch of us. Let's pray this morning. And I believe that God will give you what you need through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, you see every single person, you see every single heart here this morning, God. You see our situations and circumstances. God, the hard things in our life that cause stress. Father, right now this morning, first of all, I bind the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Lord, it's the opposite of faith. Father, whatever circumstance that we may be facing that we don't know what could happen next, God, let us have a peace which surpasses all understanding by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, for those who need strength this morning, Father, I ask that you'd fill them with your strength. Lord, for those that have just been knocked down and just don't see how they could go forward, they don't see a way out, Lord, I ask that your light would shine on their lives and that you would sustain them in hard times. Father, if it's just a step at a time, Lord, let us have that. So, Father, I ask for the empowerment of your people today. I thank you, Lord, that you will carry all of our burdens, that you will carry our fears, and that you say, do not be afraid because you are with us. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.